Friday. Here we go. It is a Friday. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Traffic is a mess out there on I-90. We'll have updates for you. Tracy Taylor's got that. Tom is off today. Sense a pattern. Jerry steps in from Northern Virginia, giving her the very difficult task of filling in for Tom, plus also coming up with one interesting thing about herself, because Jacob says the people want to know her. Diving into the news! I'd say it's not as much of a challenge jumping into the water in Little Creek that runs into the Yakima now. I'm in there just flopping around in my underwear, and it's not even like... Now it's just like there's a guy flopping around in his underwear. You know what I mean, Sherry?
Do you still have an audience every day?
Not as many people seem to be gathering around on the bridge. It's sort of like, oh, temperatures warming up. Anybody can do that.
Okay. All right. I thought maybe you drew a crowd. I wasn't sure. I was giving you credit
there. Not anymore. Well, let's see. The video was released, even though the parents didn't want to have it released. Chicago police officer fatally shooting a 13-year-old. Let's see. There's plenty of sound on this. Setting up the story is about 2:30 in the morning, right, Sherry? Why don't you? You've got some of the details on this, don't you? What happened that night in Chicago?
Yeah. So you know, I was watching this last night. I was watching, going back and forth between Fox and CNN, which I often do just to see what the two sides are. And they had police experts on both of the networks. And basically what happened was this 13-year-old was out. It was about 2:30 in the morning. The officer got called because shots were fired and somebody was shooting at a car, apparently. So several shots were fired. Yeah. A chase ensued. He was chasing the 13-year-old, and he yelled at the 13-year-old to his name is Adam. He yelled at Adam to drop the gun. Now, this is where it gets a little bit sticky. Immediately after he told him to drop the gun, he shot at him and killed him. And it's believed that he didn't know, obviously, that this kid was 13 years old. All he saw was a figure. He saw, you know, could have been a grown man. He didn't really know. And the fact that the shots had been fired, that it was, you know, reasonable for him to think that his life was in danger. So he shot at him. But from the video, it looks as if that he did drop the gun before the shot was fired. So that's where it gets a little complicated in terms of whether or not the officer overreacted and should not have shot at him so quickly. And, you know, he's 13 years old. So that's really awful. It's even a greater tragedy.
Here is some of the sounding. This is from the body
cam. Hey, stop! Stop right now! Hey, come here! Stop! Stop! Shots fired. Get an ambulance up here now. Look at me. You all right? Where
are
you shot?
Yeah, standing over the kid.
Where are you shot, man? Where are you shot? Stay with me.
All right, 10-4, we'll get an ambulance rolling.
Somebody bring the medical kit now.
Okay, another police officer shows up. So what you have is the kid runs down the alley. He is between two pieces of a fence. With his right hand, he tosses the gun behind the fence and then turns, I think, and then does he turn and then brings his hands up. And as he's bringing his hand up, in 0.8 seconds, the police officer discharges weapon one, hits the kid in the upper chest, and he dies, I think, right there in front of everybody as they're trying to save his life. So... then the White House, of course, responds to this. This is your
president. Thanks, Jen. I was wondering if the president actually watched the Adams Leto video and then also what his reaction was to it.
I have not spoken with him this morning. I expect I'll see him later this morning. I will say for those of us who did watch that video, it is certainly chilling and a reminder that across the country there are far too many communities where there is violence that is impacting that too often in this country law enforcement uses unnecessary force, too often resulting in the death of Black and Brown Americans. The president, again, has repeatedly said that he believes we need police reform. That's what he says he's calling for Congress to send to his desk. There's an independent investigation, as you well know, and certainly we'll see that play itself through.
Okay. Nothing about family reform. Nothing about the fact that this 13-year-old kid, who is apparently a member of a gang, out at 2:30 in the morning with a 21-year-old who's also a member of a gang, and this 13-year-old has fired this gun at a car driving by. That's not part of the story. The part of the story is it's the police fire too quickly and take the life of brown and black people. I mean, the guy's running down the alley. The kid, then you could play the whole game. Why didn't the kid throw the gun sooner? Why run away with the gun, right? What's a 13-year-old doing with a gun? Where's the mother? And then, of course, the news is the mom says, and you're heartbroken for the mother, he's a great kid. He likes to play Legos. Oh, okay. You go and you watch his Facebook page and you see the people that are saying, you know, so sorry, you know, that you're dying, or so sorry that you've left this world or whatever. And he's got two nicknames or something. They call him like Baby Diablo or something else. Again, you don't want a 13-year-old to die. You don't want a 50-year-old to die. You don't want anybody to die at the hands of a police officer. But you don't want the cop to die. Since January 11th, 15 police officers have been shot and killed in the line of duty. Heck, how's that cop supposed to know in the dark while running after this person that that person does not have a gun when he had seen the gun in the person's hand just seconds ago?
Well, he doesn't. He doesn't. But there is some argument to be made that police possibly need to be retrained so they don't shoot to kill. I mean, that's how they are trained. And I used to work at, you know, with the prison system in the state of Maryland, and I worked with all with cops, and I would ask that question every once in a while when something like this would happen. Why couldn't they have shot him in the leg? Why couldn't they have shot him in an area of his body where it wouldn't kill him? And the answer is, they're not that good. They are not trained. They're not sharpshooters. They're not snipers. They are trained for the large body mass. So they're trained to shoot at the chest. And so, therefore, is there an argument to be made for them to be trained in a different way so they don't overreact or they don't react as quickly and they have a moment to be able to decide whether or not they need to really kill this person? But, who knows in that moment? None of us know how we would react to that particular situation.
Mm-hmm. Look, they can shoot. The reason they're shooting, that they're trained to fire the gun and continue to shoot until the threat has stopped. That's the way these things are written. You want them written different laws for 13-year-olds that carry guns? They already know that they know that on his right hand he has the residue of gunpowder. So he was firing at a car driving by. What if that 13-year-old had shot somebody in that car? Would that change at all the story? Make him more culpable, less culpable? Does it change any of the angle of the story? The bigger thing, which the politics can't get into, which is this, and this and the same thing about that guy, White, who got shot by the cop with the taser thing. It's like, what kind of society do we live in that let's go with the kid, Adam. He's 13 years old. Is he a member of this gang? Apparently recently tattooed, or he is in some regards part of this because these gangs and the way they operate, they want young kids to do certain things within inside that gang because they will not do as much time, and the kid has no father figure and there's no one there to help this kid. So you lose him early and then he ends up getting caught up in gangs. That's what happens. You have nobody else to protect you, so you join a gang, and then the gang becomes your family. Right? Isn't this sort of the scenario?
Yes,
you know, because you worked in this system, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why it's a tragedy across the board, is that there's culpability here on so many levels. And in terms of your heart breaks, of course, for the parents, but where were they? Why is a 13-year-old out at 2:30 in the morning and the mother says, oh, I thought he was in his room. He was gone for a few days, but he was back. Hello? I mean, where do you think he is? And the 21-year-old, by the way, I believe he got charged with child endangerment. What's he doing out with that kid if he's not grooming him for something with a gun?
Yeah. And I said this in the pre-show meeting, and Jacob jumped all over me. I have to tell you something. I feel bad for that cop.
Well,
you
the
hear
cop,
it in his voice when he's standing over the. He's standing. He shot it. Now, I don't know if this cop has got a kid, but I've heard from other police officers that have taken people's lives. They're not robots.
No.
And then I watched the whole video. Because his camera kept rolling. He didn't talk, but he walked away, and you see him looking back. They're working on this 13-year-old, right? He shot and killed a 13-year-old kid in the dark. And the reason he shot and killed that kid is not because he's a racist, Kamala Harris or Joe Biden. He shot that kid because he thought that kid was going to kill him. He thought he had a gun that was going to be able to shoot him, just like the kid had fired the gun just a little while earlier. What about the cop?
One report
society
that I heard
failed
last night.
Yes.
You know, was that the cop actually was sitting on the sidewalk sobbing after all this happened. That, and cops will tell you they're never the same after something like this happens. They just aren't. They are human.
Yes. Yes. There's a guy lives not far from where I am. And I can't even tell a story without crying, so I'm not going to tell a story. I'm going to switch topics. And isn't it nice to have that refreshing, annoying sound come in just as I want to talk about something else. So anyway, moving on, not so lightly. But right now, that is now just one more story. And I hopefully people are not out there protesting on this. I think the best thing that was said was the mayor, Lightfoot, said, "We have failed Adam." That was probably the most profound and probably the best thing said. Marshawn Lynch, moving to a much lighter topic. Marshawn Lynch gets an opportunity to talk to Dr. Fauci. Who hasn't interviewed Dr. Fauci? Have you seen Lamb Chop? Isn't that the thing's name? That what's her name? The woman used to have Lamb Chop on her hand, the puppet.
Oh, Sherry Lewis.
Sherry.
Hello. Yes,
Sherry
that
Lewis.
Was, I was named
I think
after
Sherry
her.
Lewis and Lamb Chop have all. What's that? What'd you say?
Yeah,
you were named after this person, Sherry?
After Sherry Lewis, yes. Sharri. That's how I spell my name. My sister watched her on television, and she was so spoiled that when that new baby came, why don't you name her? Oh, I like Sherry. And so they spelled it like her.
Oh,
true
God.
Story. But go on. I digress. Go on.
We've learned something about you. And
see?
I think people now feel both love you and sorry for you at the same time. Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop. I'm sure the question is, has Lamb Chop interviewed Dr. Fauci? This guy's been interviewed by everybody.
Right.
And now, finally, I guess he's just working his way down. Marshawn Lynch gets to talk to Fauci.
Well, what's happening, man? You got Marshawn Lynch here, man. Better known as the boy, the kid, beast mode, man. It's a pleasure to meet the...
How high is he right now? What do you think?
I love this interview. I watched it. I thought it was great.
The Dr. Fauci himself, you understand me? What's happening, big dog?
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Marshawn.
No problem.
Did you understand anything I just said?
Yeah, I got it. I'm good at that.
All right, here we go. Diving in. It's going
to
be good.
What we want to do is to see if we can convince as many people as possible when the vaccine becomes available to them to get vaccinated.
Right.
And that's the reason why we thought maybe you and I having a conversation about that and chiming in. And since you're such an admired person by everybody, but particularly African-Americans, because of your extraordinary career in football, that you might want to encourage them with me to make sure that people, although they may be understandably a little reluctant for a variety of reasons, to make sure they wind up getting vaccinated. So,
okay, so that he's just laid out the entire reason these two are sharing this moment, right, Sherry?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we're going to talk because we want you to tell people to get this shot. So then what does Marshawn say?
What do you think about that?
I would say more so like, you know, when it comes to like, vaccinations or, you know, government, I don't want to say experiments, but when it comes to, like, you know, the government giving back to communities of people that look like me, we don't seem to be on the well-received end of those situations.
Okay, so there's a little hesitance. Apparently, Marshawn didn't get the meeting
right.
notes that you're supposed to be
at this point in time.
People.
I have more information of what can happen to me by if I catch this, rather than I haven't seen enough of our people who took the vaccination to see whether they come out better or worse. So I think it's more of the educational component.
All right, so let's go there. Let's go there. That's a good point. So first thing is that you have to understand that I do, and certainly many.
Okay, is this going to be him just like, where's the best part of it other than the fact that, that Marshawn is not on board with telling people to go ahead and get this thing?
Well, it's basically that. I mean, he's...
That's it?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. That's interesting. Here, Marshawn's response to the fact that Fauci says, Fauci explains why black people are more likely to die of the virus. Okay, so this is Marshawn's.
In the African-American population, likely because of decades and decades, if not centuries, of social determinants of health, you have, as a group, as a community of brown and black people, you have a higher incidence of those underlying conditions that make it much more likely that when you get infected, you're going to get a serious outcome. So what are some of those conditions? Diabetes is more common in blacks than whites. Hypertension is more common. Kidney disease is more common. Chronic lung disease is more common.
Do you think Marshawn's still paying attention at this point? Have you seen him? What is he doing at this point? That's a Duco?
He's sitting there. He's knitting. sitting on his couch and everything. And he's listening. He's not buying it, but he's listening to everything that he's saying. I just think the two personalities together are kind of funny. It's kind of like Martha Stewart.
So what it sounds to me is we have a bigger problem than just the coronavirus. From all those medical conditions that you just explained to me, but it sounds to me as those health conditions in which you just put out there is the bigger problem for, you know, individuals within my community. But then that only goes back to why they're actually in that community anyway. When you talk about obesity, diabetes, because of the type of that's in our communities, those are the things in which we have access to. So I understand, you know, the coronavirus is knocking my people down. I understand that, you know, being vaccinated helps the world get back to what we knew it before. But then we still haven't tackled the problems in which makes us more susceptible to dying off.
Mm. Are these two taking this show on the road? Will they be at the Muckleshoot Casino or the Emerald Queen Casino anytime soon?
I'd go. I think it's really good.
Oh, my. Dr. Fauci, where's he going to be this weekend? Is he going to be at the car wash?
He's in Atlantic City this weekend. He's headlining.
In Atlantic City, yeah, for a bagel opening. All right, Tracy Taylor, look at the traffic for us on a Friday. Going down the basement, Sherry. Bye, Tom.
You really made a little show of walking around, I guess, before leaving?
Yeah. In his robe. That was weird. His legs are very pale, and he's got that old man condition where your legs get really pale and then all the hair falls off. Who's with me? Anyone?
I don't have any hair where my sock line usually is, and that's like a genetic trait, I think. My grandfather on my mother's side had no hair there as well.
Thank you, Sherry.
My name is Sean.
By the way, sorry.
My name is Sean.
Okay. All right, we're moving on. I stopped with the music already. Jeez. Stop. The birth order has often been a story kicked around all the time. If the oldest kid, and then if you're the middle child, you never get enough attention. And if you're the youngest one, then you get named after a woman who has a puppet on her hand. This is, of all the stories we'll do all day and perhaps all week, the fact that, let me get this right, Sherry, your older sister was so spoiled that your parents asked her, what should we name the baby? Is that what happened?
Well, they say that's not true, but the name Sherry was back then spelled generally Sherry. But because my sister was a fan of Sherry Lewis, they thought it would be kind of nice to spell it like Sherry Lewis. And I've always said it was a nod to her because she was extremely unhappy that a new baby was coming into her universe. So that's just my impression.
I see. And then did your parents make you have a sock on your hand and talk to that? Like, no, like Sherry Lewis here talking to Lamb Chop?
There are only two ways to look at my salary. Heads or tails, Lamb Chop. You see this fancy lady with all the jewels on her dress? Do you know what I get for a salary? Are you ready for this? One penny a week.
You know, you realize that ventriloquist doesn't work on the radio. I just it just came to me just now.
I have a newsflash. It doesn't work, period. It is not funny. It is the worst form of entertainment ever. Only second to magic, in my opinion, because I hate magic.
Okay. Well, the firstborn child is supposed to be the one that is never in trouble or always in trouble. New study comes out. Did you get a chance to take a look at this?
Yeah, so they give a little history of this, and it sort of goes back to, it goes way, way back, but one of the more modern theories is Alfred Adler, who was a follower of Freud, said that the eldest develops a greater sense of responsibility and neuroses. The youngest is spoiled and a little bit more creative, and the middle child is more emotionally stable and independent because they become the peacemakers because they're always sharing. So that was kind of what they've thought all these years, is that that's the model, right? Well, that's all changing now because they're realizing there are so many factors to raising children and the way that we make comparisons with kids that's kind of not really relevant anymore.
So why is it not relevant?
Well, part of it is that they're making comparisons between children of different ages. So if you've got a four-year-old, right, and yet the four-year-old seems like he is you know, more responsible, or he's doing something because the two-year-old is a little bit more relaxed or whatever, it may just be because there's 2 years difference, not necessarily mm-hmm. because it's the firstborn and the youngest.
I see. Okay. Well, so the standards of what I had seen in my family and what I'd learned from other families as well, the firstborn was sort of the smartest is often the firstborn. Second, kind of by the time you're third or fourth, you're getting less and less brains till finally, I mean, you are just able to form any sort of one syllable word by the time you're like the eighth kid. Is everybody with me on that one? Huh? Mm-hmm. Jacob, you're like the eighth kid, aren't you?
I'm actually the oldest of four.
Okay, fine. That's exactly what I was trying to say. The middle child is the one that doesn't get enough attention, and I had found that I was also, my sister, super smart. I thought in order to differentiate myself from my sister, I will be a failure academically. See what I did there? And then my brother comes along. We're all 11 and a half months apart. Then he comes along, and then he sort of decides, I don't want to be anything like my brother, so therefore I'll be really good in school and not have a criminal record.
Hello?
Hello? Is anybody still there?
We may have lost Sherry. I think she's got upset about the whole magician ventriloquist thing.
Do you have some magic that you could play for us on the radio right now?
I do, yeah. Do you want me to?
Yeah.
Let me do that.
In honor of Sherry.
Behold, magic.
This is we'd learned that earlier that ventriloquism on the radio doesn't work, and then Sherry said the only one thing worse not working on radio, that would be magic.
Sherry's back. That's some magic for you. That worked on the radio, didn't it, Sherry?
Yes, and being the youngest, I was lazy and just decided I didn't want to talk anymore. So there.
Don't you find the middle child always wants more attention? Isn't that always the case?
Well, I think the middle child, you're the middle child.
Yeah, can you tell? Can you tell?
The middle child, they say, it's because you have to share so much. You know, you don't get all the attention like the first one did, and everybody's all crazy because it's the first child. And then the youngest one, by that time, everybody's tired. So, you know, they're like, yeah, let them do whatever they want. So the middle child kind of, you know, hangs in there and tries to make everybody happy. And, yeah, I think that they do need a little bit more attention.
You got to feel bad for the youngest one, because by that time, the parents are tired. I remember my brother's baby book Because my baby book started like instantaneously. There's the first, and then this, and then another one. There's pages and pages and pages. Look at all this. There's your first birthday, and then all the other. There's some pictures of you. But for poor Chuck, I mean, his baby. He's like, why is my baby book starting like at four? And why are my brother and sister in every sort of shot? Well, what my mom did was she just took photos from our book, tore it out, and stuck it into his book. And then we used to say to you, oh, the reason your baby book starts at four is because you're adopted. And then that became something that we would just pound away at him. I know. Well, we didn't have a lot of angles. You know, so you hit him with you're adopted and make him feel unloved.
Oh, poor Chuck.
Jeez.
What's wrong?
That is so
terrible.
What,
didn't everybody do that?
No.
Yeah, come on. It's you toughen your brothers up. This is what you do. And you, when you get the Nerf ball, you dunk it in the water after the dog takes a giant bite out of it. So the ball weighs like 60 pounds, and then you throw it at him. And then you yell something about him being adopted. There you go.
Okay. I didn't do that, but I definitely did the ball in the water trick.
Rocky's Auto Service Centers, they've got 16 locations. They've been around for 51 years. That's a good long time. They'll fix your car. It won't take them 51 years. They'll do it lickety-split. You know they do it right. All right, Sherry, this is a story that any time you're allowed to stop the story. This is about a family that's kicked off a plane because they have a two-year-old, and I know you're a big fan of two-year-olds on planes.
Jackson Harvey is a busy two-and-a-half-year-old and not always compliant.
I said, ma'am, he's two.
On April 1st, the family boarded a Southwest Airlines flight from DIA to Texas, headed to a wedding reception. But when Jackson would not wear his mask, the family was asked to get off the plane.
It felt very unfair. It felt very wrong. I said, you're kicking us off the flight.
Do you understand the flight attendants, why they said what they said and why they did what they did? Do you understand that?
100%. I get it.
Michelle Harvey says there was no flexibility, no wiggle room.
We walked off of that plane in a daze.
Eric Harvey quickly put this video on Facebook, recounting what happened.
I think this is absolutely, utterly insane.
1,000 miles away in Austin, Texas, a former co-worker of Eric's, James Peck, saw the Facebook video. So he flew to Colorado in his twin-engine plane, picked up the family, flew them to Texas for the reception, and then back to Colorado.
I knew I'd be giving up a couple of days of my time and, you know, the money for the gas and operating the plane and everything else. But if it's something I already love to do, this is an excuse to do a little more of it all at once and turn their day around in a big way.
And I was blown away.
While the family says they were...
That guy's like Mr. Soundbite, isn't he?
Overwhelmed by Peck's kindness, they say they're skeptical of mask regulations, which they believe are enforced inconsistently.
The mandate's pretty ridiculous. 2 years old.
Southwest refunded the family's flight costs and said it regrets the inconvenience, but federal law requires all customers to and over to wear a face mask on board the aircraft.
Mm. Wow. How about that?
Tough.
You're not a fan of kids on planes.
I am not. I have traveled a lot, and I'm telling you, I have a feeling this was probably not, and it doesn't matter that what the conditions around it, but don't you kind of think that a tantrum ensued after this? You know, put your mask on. I'm not putting my And then he probably threw it down.
Especially since the kid's name is Jackson. Especially because the kid's name is Jackson, right?
That doesn't help. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it is a little ridiculous that there's a federal regulation that says a two-year-old has to wear a mask. But I'm also saying that two-year-olds on planes, maybe they should have, you know, separate planes or something like that because of the rest of us.
Yeah. And the plane is filled with balls like at a McDonald's sort of thing, right?
Yeah. You mean like the ballroom at IKEA?
The ball, yeah. It's just the plane is filled with those. So the kids are in there. It's their own plane.
Oh, you're on their own plane. Oh, they can do whatever they want on their own plane. Oh, yeah, that would be great.
All right, would you pay $10 more a ticket if you knew there were no kids on the plane?
I would pay $100 more a ticket.
Oh, my God.
I would. I absolutely would. They ruin the flight. I mean, it's just, stop.
No, don't stop. Keep doing that. Poor Sherry. $200? Would you pay $200?
Keep the I might go $125. I think that's my limit.
Okay, fine. Tracy Taylor, how about that? We learned something new about Sherry. She's named after a sock, and then she hates children.
And she doesn't like kids on airplanes. Okay.
No, I do not.
No.
I'm guilty as charged.